Good to see each of you here this morning. There are some that have been away that have returned. We're glad that you're back and have some visitors. We're glad that you're here, and our regulars, we're glad that all of you are here. We know that we're here for no other purpose but to worship our God as we sing these songs and praise to God, as we encourage and strengthen one another through these songs. As we open the Word of God and see what God's Word has to say to help us to guide us on our way this day and this week, to shed some light, to be a light to our pathway. We're studying the book of John. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John. The book of John, the Gospel of Belief, written by one of Jesus' apostles. As John says, the apostle that Jesus loved, the apostle that Jesus turned over the keeping of his mother after Jesus, while Jesus was upon the cross. He pointed that out to John and to his mother, that would be taking place once he had left this earth. We're grateful for John and his teachings, as we are for the whole Bible. John specifically deals with the area of belief, the area of increasing our faith. He says that he's written what he's written here in the book of John. He says this in John 20 and verse 31, that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But he said, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It doesn't hurt for us to read that and think about that each and every day, each and every week at least, as we live the Christian life. We need to be strong in our faith. We need to be strong in our beliefs in Christ. We see that Christ and God are being attacked on every side by society today. We live at a time when folks' thoughts are more on immorality than they are on morality, it seems. It's time not too different at least in our finite minds, from the time God looked down upon earth and saw that man's hearts and minds were upon wickedness continually, back in Genesis chapter 6. The flood happened shortly thereafter. Today, though, we continue in our reading and study of John, and we want to call your attention to John, the third chapter. We looked at the first two verses last week and looked at this man Nicodemus, a man who was a Pharisee, one of the strictest, I guess you would say, or most strict of the Jewish sects or groups. He was a ruler, likely in the Sanhedrin. And it says that there was a man of the Pharisees, reading from John chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again when he's old? How can man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell of whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So we want to think about this meeting, this nightly meeting, or not nightly meeting, but meeting by night that Nicodemus has with Jesus. We mentioned last week that we're not sure why he came by night. Some say that he didn't really want to be seen with Jesus at this particular time, because he did have a belief that Jesus was a teacher from God, and that other Pharisees might not, and Jewish rulers might not like that particular conclusion that he had reached. But others say that possibly he met Jesus by night because that was the only time he could meet him. It was at night, when neither one of them had a whole lot maybe on their plate, a lot of things to do. So anyway, it really doesn't matter. He met him. Jesus spoke to him, and spoke to him about the need of a new life. Now, as a Pharisee, Nicodemus could possibly have been perplexed. He likely was perplexed by this talk of a new birth, because, you see, he was a Jew. He was born of Abraham, descendant of Abraham, the promised to Abraham that by faith through him all nations of earth would be blessed. And the fact that the Jews were children of God by just a natural birth. So this idea of being born anew, of being born again, was something that probably not too many people would have understood at that time. And so Jesus says, well, you cannot be a member of the kingdom of God. You cannot enter. You cannot participate in God's kingdom unless you be born again. And so Nicodemus raises a question. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, the first question is a reasonable question. The second question, I'm sure he already knows the answer to that. He's just prodding to see if he can get an answer, I guess, to the first question. How can a man be born when he's old? He's scratching his head like we would do, I guess, the phrase we would use. He's wondering, well, what is this teacher talking about now? And Jesus had a response. He uses the words, verily, verily, or of a truth, I say, indicating, as some suggest, that this is a very, very important statement that Jesus is going to make. And therefore, he precedes it with these words, words that sometimes you wouldn't say in making a statement. In other words, what I'm about to say, Jesus said, is truth. He always spoke truth, but he wanted to emphasize this particular statement. Verily, verily, truly, truly, he repeated it. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's a discussion, not much of a discussion, because I looked into a Greek Bible, and I saw that the article "the" was not in there. Now, you may think, well, man, let's don't go back to English. I had enough trouble with English back when I was in high school. Well, sometimes we've got to look at words. Words is what language is made up of. Words is what the Bible speaks to us with. That's the way we can understand what others want us to understand. And by looking at the Greek, which I'm not very much up on, but I could see, but this particular way of handling the Greek words were there and the translation was underneath. So, except the man be born of water and of spirit. The two are connected. They're not two different things, not two different situations or actions that person would go through. We're talking about, at this point, we're talking about a new birth. He mentions water. Well, what would Nicodemus think of when Jesus spoke about water? Well, John the Baptist had been teaching for some time now. John the Baptist had been baptizing Jews for remission of their sins. And so he would understand that to mean Jesus was referring to baptism. And if we go through the Bible, we see that at other places, whenever water is emphasized in relationship to man's salvation, it has to do with that individual's being baptized. Now, this is talking about a person being regenerated, being changed. There are a number of scriptures that talk about the person, there being an old man and a new man. The old man and a new creature in Christ. Let's read Romans 6, beginning with verse 3. Romans 6, beginning with verse 3. The Jews, Paul, in writing the church at Rome, had been discussing the matter of grace. And he was talking about how great God's grace was sufficient to cover sin. Some smart person thought, well, maybe, you know, I can get more grace by doing what? By sinning more. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, let's look at that question. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin. This idea of becoming alive in Christ and having been dead to sin, maybe before we get into it, what I thought in my mind at the time I thought about it, I thought about back on the farm. Back on the farm. Not the funny farm. But back on the farm where we had a garden. Okay? One of the things we had to plant was potatoes. Now you put those potatoes, you put a piece of a potato with an eye on it, not an eyeball, but a sprig coming up. You put it in the ground. Well, what happens to that little piece of potato before it starts to grow? If you were to dig underneath that potato just a few days later, maybe a week or two later, what are you going to find? You're going to find something has died. It smells like it's died. It has died. It's rotten. It is decayed. Something is died. How did it die? Something else is coming alive. How did it come alive out of something dying? I can't explain all that. Scientists probably could explain big long words and let us know exactly what happened. They wouldn't know what happened even if they explained it. But this is what happens, this is what is happening here as Jesus is going to talk about our being baptized. He says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Now he talks about a burial. Well, you don't bury anything that's not dead. So something is going to be buried that's dead. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Death. This death is going to happen here? Well, yes. Bear with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So there's a death going on, and there's a newness of life. Now, there's even planting mentioned in verse 5. We've been planted together in the likeness of his death. Somewhat similar to Jesus going to the cross, being buried in the tomb, and then his resurrection. We go down into this water. This side of water, are our sins. But we become dead to our sins. When we repent of our sins and we're baptized, and baptism washes away. Not washing away of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience to God, Peter says. And so there's a transformation in essence that takes place there. I baptized a number of people and I didn't see anything moving around. I didn't see anything squiggling. I didn't see a light come on. It takes place in the heart of the individual. And the Holy Spirit, through His Word, through the teaching of God's Word, works on our hearts. Those of us who believe. We read and we believe as we read God's Word. And as we study God's Word, as God's Word works on our heart, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, the Hebrew writer says, the Word of God. Now this planting in verse 5. If we are planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall, this is this is a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as we're baptized. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man... Oh, there's an old man. Well, old man. Old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. So there's the taking care of sin. In our anxious of our conscience, in obedience, as we obey God, the body of sin might be destroyed. Henceforth, we should no longer serve sin. He that is dead is free from sin. So there's a sense in which we are dead. But we believe, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him. Let's read some other scriptures. Look at Galatians chapter 3. This is a little confusion to you. Confusing. Read these scriptures again and again. Romans 6, 3 through 6. Has a regeneration taken place, as one writer put it, and that word is used. And it's a single action. The initial act of the new birth is completed at the time a person submits themselves in baptism in obedience to God's will and has forgiveness of their sins. Galatians 3. For as many of you are, for ye are all the children of God, rather, by faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, we're children of God by faith. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're baptized into Christ. We have put on Christ. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I've got it written down, but I'll stumble here and find it. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So this person gets into Christ how? Galatians 3:26 said, you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Many of you have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. We're in Christ through faith, and in acting on that faith, we are baptized into Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So after baptism, we're a new creature. All things are passed away. All things of sin. That old man of sin. Behold, all things are become new. And that takes place, as Jesus said, he says, you must be born again. And then except you be born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Our John says, Jesus has given his requirements to entering the kingdom. It's God's kingdom. It's his kingdom. He's the king. And he can set down the required entrance requirements into that kingdom. Now, the explanation in verse 6 and 7, and Nicodemus is going to ask about, but he's not going to understand, and Jesus does not explain them to him here. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come. Well, it goeth, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered, how can these things be? As you're a master of Israel, don't you know these things? Don't you know that some of these things have been spoken of in the Old Testament? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak what we do know. Testify that we have seen. I have told you earthly things. You believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Jesus is talking about spiritual things. Nicodemus is not ready to understand these spiritual things. But the Holy Spirit works in a way that, as the writer says here, and mentions that it's somewhat similar to the wind. And we could use that example. When you read God's Word, to what extent is the Holy Spirit working with you? To what extent did the Holy Spirit work with these apostles in giving us the Word? Gave us the Word. We have the Word of God because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we read God's Word, we are convinced if we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, which is what John is trying to accomplish through his writings, he's trying to get us to the point where we'll say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And I believe John partially because you've given evidence, you've given some proof, you've given miracles that he did, and we, like Nicodemus, have concluded that no man except he be from God could do this. So, our conclusion is that he is from God. And he says he's the Son of God, he claims to be, so we agree with him. We believe that. And therefore, we believe what he teaches. And if he says, except you be born, or you must be born again, except you be born of water and spirit, we believe that. And then he later tells his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, where does the Spirit come in there? He doesn't mention the Spirit. The Comforter is, and the Spirit is guiding the apostles in writing what they're writing. Jesus gave that commandment in order that people might be converted to him. So the Spirit is involved in the teaching. The Spirit is involved in the teaching of the Word of God through these apostles. And we're involved in listening to the Spirit when we pay attention to God's Word and when God's Word works within us. To obey his word and to follow that which God's word teaches. In 1 Peter 1:22 and 23, we're going to read a couple other groups of verses. Peter says this in 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. Look at 1 Peter 1. I'll give you time to get that. First Peter 1, 22-23. Let's go back. Let's go back to verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed or bought with corruptible things. In other words, there are things that will decay and be destroyed, like silver, gold, from your vain conversation or your vain manner of life, received by tradition of your fathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ's blood shed on the cross, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, known before the world, pre-planned in the mind of God, not some last-minute decision. But it was made known, he says, here in these last days, in Christian age, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Even here in Peter, Peter's trying to say that your faith is supposed to be in God. Your faith is supposed to be in Jesus Christ, the fact of his death, his burial, and the resurrection, and what that means to you, and the hope that you now have in God. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now, how did they do that? How did the Spirit get involved? And they're obeying the truth through the Spirit. Unto unfeigned, genuine love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, not of that seed that I was buried in the ground is corruptible, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We're renewed as we daily, as we read and study the word of God. It's like in the spring, you put weed, feed, and seed out on the yard, and you're supposed to get to a whole lot greener grass. Hopefully, our lives, as we study God's word, and as we go from faith to faith, our lives get more and more like Christ. And more pleasing to God as we deal with God's Word and as we follow its guidance. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Look at Colossians 3, 9 and 10. We're studying that on Sunday mornings, about down to that point on Sunday mornings in our class. I want to read, all of 9 and 10. He's been talking about a bunch of things to mortify or put to death. Some things that that were left on the other side of their becoming a Christian, which perhaps have been beginning to creep back into their lives. Lie not one to another, he says, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So there's the old man of sin. and having put on a new man, so there's a change that takes place. There's a change that takes place, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created you. Jesus said the new birth is one of water and of spirit. Now, I don't know everything that says. I'm open to reading that again and again, to learn more and more about the Bible. I was reading yesterday where a man was saying what certain sections of the Bible meant to him. He said he'd read the Bible hundreds of times. How many of us can say that? And he was still coming to the wrong conclusion after reading it hundreds of times. We need to read God's Word. We need to study God's Word. I can't emphasize that more important. Someone mentioned in class this morning there's a picture of the congregation back on the board in the back, 2003. And somebody said to me, he said, you know, said, most of those people on that first row are no longer with us. And you know what they were meaning. I don't know who's on that second row. I don't know who's longer with us on that second row, who's longer living in the area or living on this earth. But Jesus is serious here. Jesus is serious when he's talking to Nicodemus and what he says. He's talking about a new birth, but he uses that word truly, truly. This is of a truth. He's speaking of a spiritual rebirth, and Nicodemus is hung up on physical rebirth. Jesus didn't really answer his question when he said, how can you go back into your mother? Can you go back into your mother's womb and be born? Jesus didn't say, no, Nicodemus, you got it all wrong. Nicodemus, how could you be so dumb? He didn't say that. He explained what it was. He explained what it was in a spiritual sense, and yet Nicodemus at that time wasn't ready. He didn't have the background, or didn't think he had the background, to fully comprehend what Jesus was saying at that time. So he was thinking about a physical rebirth. But you know, even the apostles, as late as Acts chapter 1, had some difficulty with some of the teachings that Jesus had, especially concerning the kingdom, didn't they? And this was an effort of Jesus in John chapter 3 and talking to Nicodemus to tell him, or let him know who would be in the kingdom. Nicodemus, boy, he was a strict Jew. He did everything down to the nth degree. I'm going to be in his kingdom. Nicodemus, Jesus says you don't understand what the kingdom is. You don't understand what the kingdom is. And so he doesn't really have the time to explain all about what the kingdom is. But look in Acts chapter 1, and you'll see men who had been with him three and a half years didn't know what the kingdom meant. But they were going to be directed by the Holy Spirit to be guided to truth, and we're thankful for that. And Jesus saw to that. But here is Jesus. Jesus is talking to his apostles, disciples, and he's about ready to go back up into heaven. Soon his ascension, which takes place in verse 1, as people are gazing, he just gone up into heaven. But prior to that time, in verse 6, well, let's go back to verse 8. Being assembled together with them, that is Jesus being assembled together with those whom he had chosen, the apostles, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They would, the apostles. Takes place in Acts 2. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? I don't want them to beat him on the head or something. You know, can't I? Do I have to do this all over again? Do I need to stay longer on earth? You almost hear him say, but no, they'll be guided by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and what they teach. But they were still confused. They were thinking that, you know, he used to sit on David's throne. That's what was spoken of, as Peter speaks of in Acts 2. And they expected someone like a King David on a physical throne, fighting physical battles for them. and one in physical wars. And that's not what Jesus had in mind. His was a spiritual kingdom. His kingdom was the church, which is in existence today, and of which he is the head, and he's the king. But that wasn't fully understood. But now as we look at the Bible in its totality, and as we look at other scriptures that have reference to the same thing, we can see that being born again is by hearing the Word of God, by believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God, acting upon that belief in obedience, and then being baptized. And the book of Romans kind of tells us about that. There's something new. Something happened in our mind as we obeyed God. Said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm willing to do what He says. One of the things He said was you must be born again, born of the water and the Spirit. And the word ye made it very personal to Nicodemus, didn't it? He didn't say folks need to be born again. He didn't say everybody else. He said ye. And that's just as personal to us this morning as we read it. Ye. And then he said must. He didn't say, well, it'd be nice. No, it'd kind of be a good thing to do. Well, whenever you get around to it, maybe a few years. And think about it. He said, you must be born again. Well, that's not really the way I want it. He didn't say, I give you an option to do it the way you want to do it. He's the king. It's his kingdom. And he sets forth the entrance requirements. As simple as that. It wasn't simple to them. They didn't have the full Word of God before them where they could go back and forth and look at this scripture and that scripture and compare this and that. They didn't have the benefit of hindsight. You must be born again. He must be born again. Jesus is the giver of life in both realms. In the physical realm, He was there in the beginning. He created everything. He's there now as babies are born. And we look at that baby as a miracle. We can't totally explain that. And then there's a spiritual rebirth that He talks about where there's the old man becomes a new man. There has to be that change. And there has to be a continual transformation. The Roman writer says in Romans 12, not a confirmation, not being conformed to the world. He says, be transformed. And there's a lot of change that takes place. And a lot of change that continues to take place. So based on God's Word, we believe in Jesus Christ as emphasized throughout the book of John. We act on that belief by being baptized into Christ as Christ charged the apostles. He said, when you go forth, you need to preach. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. That was a charge that they were to take forth. Now we say, well, did they pay any attention to it? Acts chapter 2 suggests that they did. On through the book of Acts, we see the church coming into existence. A spiritual kingdom coming into existence. The Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. That's a spiritual kingdom. This morning, if you're here and you've not been born again, the Bible says ye must be born again. Now, that doesn't mean for someone who does not believe in Jesus Christ that they should do that. We need to have the proper knowledge. We need to have the proper conviction and teaching from God's Word that we are motivated to so do, to come to Jesus in obedience to His will, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, repenting of our sins, turning away from that old life of sin, that we may then, once we have obeyed the gospel in baptism, then arise and walk in a new life. A new birth, there's a new life. If there's one here, a Christian, you need to have our prayers on your behalf. Wish to rededicate your life to Christ. You have that opportunity. As we stand, we sing the song selected. Shall we stand, please?